Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be here? I can't get the response from you. Amen. We thank God for another opportunity to be in His presence. Shall we pray? Father, the entrance of your word brings light and it brings life with it. Today we have come to you. Lord, speak to us. Speak to each one of us. Bless each one of us. As we have come into your presence, we do not want to leave the same. We want to receive power from you. We want to receive grace from you. We want to receive every special gift that you have for each and every one of us. And so send forth your word in power and in authority and bless us. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in a new year, so you have to begin the year with a lot of enthusiasm. Amen.
Amen.
Our topic we have chosen for today says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And this was Paul talking. If you look at the background to that story, Paul was writing to the Philistines. And I looked at some Bible commentary about the relationship between Paul and the Philistines. And I noticed that Paul was the one who planted the church in Philistine. And Paul had been a missionary of a different dimension altogether. He went everywhere that it was even forbidden to go because he had the power of God with him. So he went from Ephesians to Colossians and to Corinthians and to all the places that you could think of. And among those places, Philistine was Ephesians. Of Philippians was one of those places. So he set up the church there and he left. When he left, the church kept in contact with him. And at this time when Paul was writing these words to them, Paul was in prison. It was a difficult time for Paul. But you know what this church did? They always sent provisions to Paul. They always sent something back to Paul to the extent that they sent somebody called, the name is not very easy, Epaphroditus or something like that. They sent him to send provisions to Paul. And Paul will give this letter to this guy to bring back to the church. So that was the history of the church and Paul. And when Paul was writing this to them, he was trying to tell them, I have been through very difficult times. I have been through shipwrecks. I have been beaten. I have been asked not to speak of this Christ. And because of this same reason, I am in prison today. I am in chains today. But even as I am in chains, I have a testimony for you. You can do all things because I have been able to do all things. I have been beaten and I have been warned not to preach this Christ. But for the same reason, I am in prison and I am telling you, you can do all things. So at the time when Paul was writing this, he had been in a difficult situation and he was still in a difficult situation and he was telling them this. So it was not a word of encouragement. It was a word of encouragement to some extent, but it was not just a word of encouragement. It was also a testimony. It was Paul's testimony to the people of Philistine. So Paul was encouraging them. He said, "You can do all things. Because I have been able to go through all these things and I still stand for this Christ. I have not given up yet." Amen. And then we look at the second scripture, the story of David and Goliath, which is a very interesting one. I never liked to go to church when I was young because my church was boring and dull. And you know, I used to go to the Catholic church. And when you go as a kid, You have to be with your parents in this adult service and you don't understand anything that is going on. You know, the priest just making signs and saying all sorts of things. And I didn't understand. So I didn't like to go to church. But then one day I went to a children's service somewhere and then they talked about this story. And I liked the story so much. So from there I started going to church. So there is something for us to learn from this story. The story between David and Goliath. It's a very classical story when it comes to handling difficult times and challenging moments in life. And I believe that all of us go through difficult times at some point. And even now, we can say that it's a difficult year for us because Stavanger is really known to be an oil city and everything is usually booming, but like all of a sudden it looks like we are in a recession or some kind of thing. So it's a difficult time and all of us go through difficult times. But I just want us to use the story between David and Goliath to look at certain things and see if we can learn some things from that story that will enable our Christian lives to grow. So the background to this story is that David was anointed. In the chapter before, in chapter 16, David was anointed because Saul was king and he was not doing things the way God wanted. And so God sent Samuel to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And when Samuel went into the house, Jesse called some of his sons and he didn't even think of David because David was the youngest. And if you are looking for somebody to anoint, then you don't look for the youngest. You start from the oldest. So he called the oldest. And then when he came, the Lord spoke to Samuel. He said, not this one. Skip him. It's not this one. So he called the second one. He came. And Samuel said, no, it's not this one. The next one. And then he said, are these all your sons? He said, no, there is one. There is one. There is one called David. But he is not in the house at the moment. He is out in the field taking care of the sheep. He's the shepherd. And then Samuel said, call for him. Bring him. And then they brought him. And immediately the Bible said, when David entered the house, the Lord said to Samuel, get up and anoint this one. He is the one that I have chosen. And so that was the paradigm shift. That was the paradigm shift. When the oil was poured upon David, something changed in his life. And when you read the scripture, you realize that at that point, the Bible says that the Spirit of God left Saul and rested upon David. And evil spirits began to torment Saul's life. And so he was not a happy man anymore. And at night, he will have the demons come to torment him. And then he will say, is there nobody who can sing for me or do something so that these spirits will leave me? And then they told him, there is a boy called David. There is a boy called David. And he is so good at playing the lyre. He is able to worship the Lord. And when he worships the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord comes. And I believe that when the Spirit of the Lord comes, these demons will leave you. In essence, that was what they were telling the king. And because the king was desperate for a solution, he accepted that offer. And so he sent for David. And when David came, when he played the instrument, indeed, something happened. The demons left Saul. And Saul was a free man. And so he kept David in his house most of the time. And so David was shuffling between the king's house and the field. Wonderful. From keeping the sheep, David will come into the king's house to play and the demons will leave the king. And when he finishes doing that, he will go back to the field and take care of the sheep. Little did he know that all these things, God was preparing something ahead of him. He didn't know that when he was taking care of the sheep, something, he was learning something from there that will become a part of his life, that will catapult him to the next level in life. Sometimes we go through some difficult times and we complain about God. We are so bitter about so many things, about the small things that go wrong in our life, and we begin to push God to the side. But David never did that. He did all these things, going and coming back. He always came and did his service. Now, David kept doing this until one day, the Bible said that there was a champion. I like the way the Bible said it. A champion indeed, called Goliath in the city. He's among the Philistines, and he was the champion, the main man, who led the armies of the Philistines to battle. And so it was like the Philistines were provoking the Israelites. You know, there was, if you read scripture, it says that the Philistines were the chief enemies of Israel. So at every opportunity, every provocation, they will come to battle and array themselves against the Israelites. And so this was what was happening at the point in time. So they came And they drew the battle lines and they said, we are going to fight Israel. And they came there every day and night. They were on the lines Every day and night, they will wake up. Then this guy, the champion called Goliath, he will get up and he will go and stand on the lines. Then he will shout to the Israelites, "Hey, Israelites, is there a man amongst you who can stand against me? Is there a man amongst you who can fight me?" And nobody will respond. The Israelites, the Bible said, the Israelites were terrified and they will run away when this voice begins to rage. This happened 40 nights and 40 days because every day this guy will come to the lines. He will draw the battle lines. He said, "I have put the challenge to you. Where is the strong man from your camp?" Nobody will respond. And this kept happening day and night for 40 days. Until one day, Jesse called David and said, "Your brothers are at the battle front. Take this food and go and give to them. When you go, inquire about their welfare. Make sure they are okay. If something is not good, tell me so that I can ask permission to withdraw them from the battle lines. I don't want to lose any of my sons." Then he gave him cheese, special cheese, to give to the commanders, the commander of his son's unit. And I believe that he was bribing them to some extent, you know. He said, "Make sure you give this to the commander. When you give this to him, I'm sure he will understand. He will understand that you should not put my children at the hardest front in the battle. You have to put them at the easiest front so that they don't die." And this is something that used to happen in the past. And you remember that, I think it was one Uriah. He was put at the strong point of the battle. And so he was struck and he died. And so because of that, Jesse learned a lesson. He said, "No, I have to protect my children." So he gave a bribe. He didn't know that the solution to this problem was in his own house. He didn't know. So he sent David, and David went to deliver. And when David got there, he saw this man, this giant, who came to stand up again and started defying the armies of the Lord again. He said, "Hey, Israel, is there a man in your house? Is there somebody who can stand up and fight me?" And he said all sorts of things. And David said, "Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? I have seen worse things than this one. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would defy the armies of the living God?" And then he looked around. He said, "What will be done for the man or the boy?" He didn't say the boy, but he said, "The man who will kill this man." And then they said to him, "The king will give you his daughter and your house will become tax-free." This is a good offer. This is a good offer. But beyond that, David was not only looking at what he will get. The thing that touches me there is that David was looking at the fact that this guy was not only standing there to defy the people of Israel, but the armies of God. That was the main concern. The things of God. That was the main concern for David. So he was not careful about the wife he was going to get, nor the tax deduction tax-free that he was going to get. But he was looking at the things of God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. So he was concerned about the things of God. So when he saw this man defying the armies of God, he said, "No, this cannot happen. How can the God of Israel himself set an army and this man will come and stand and defy the armies of God? Something has to happen. Something has to change." I don't know what David said, but the scripture records it. He said, whilst he was speaking, the words that he spoke was reported to Saul the king. And Saul said, bring me that boy. And at that point, remember that Saul had an encounter with this guy before. He is the guy who has been playing to get rid of the demons. And so when he heard those words, he said, "There must be something in this." Amen. "There must be something in the words of this young boy. Let me bring him in and listen to what he has to say." Now, David goes to Saul and he speaks to Saul. He says, "King, don't let your heart be troubled. Because I can tell you that this guy, he will come down. This wall that you see, this mountain that you see, it will come down. This challenge that you see, this thing that terrifies your heart, that makes you sleepless, is going to come down." That was what David told Saul. And so when the king listened to Saul, he said, but you are only a small boy. You cannot fight this guy. This guy has been fighting all his life. He knows all the tactics. It's like putting Ghana against maybe the United States. We have never fought any battle in our lives. And the United States has been fighting all the battles, Iraq, Afghanistan, the Gulf War, and all those things. And they have all the complicated ammunition. And then you match these two things. You know that one is going to crush the other. That is no argument at all. That is just the outcome. But if you say you can do this thing, me, I will not challenge you. I don't know what you have seen. That you say you will fight this Goliath, the Lord be with you. He blessed him and said, the Lord be with you. And that was the turning point. David stepped out and he said, the Lord is with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to deliver my people Israel from the captivity of this champion. And so he stepped out. He stepped out in confidence. He stepped out in authority. He stepped out in all boldness. The Bible says that we have not received a spirit of fear, nor of timidity, but what? Of power and of love and of sound mind. I believe that when David was standing there at that point, his heart was melting for the whole of Israel. How can one man terrify a whole nation and nobody, the king, was afraid and nobody wanted to take action against this man? Is there no man in this house? Is there no man in this country? There is surely a man, because there is one on whom the Spirit of God rests. That is the man who will make the difference. Amen. The lesson we learn from this story is that we allow ourselves to be overtaken, to be overdued by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is upon us, we can do anything. We do not see mountains. We do not see barriers and just end at that. We can crush anything. Anything that stands in front of us, that intimidates us, that makes us afraid, we will be able to overcome that thing because of the Spirit of God. Amen. And so David steps out. The first thing he does is to go and pick some stones, 5 stones. Then he picks his shepherd's staff. That's what Goliath refers to as sticks. He didn't know what it was. He said, I am a shepherd. This thing I am holding, you don't know what he has done for me. When I am in the battlefield and then a bear comes to strike any of the sheep, I will use this stick, this thing you call a stick, I will use it and strike that animal, and I will take the sheep from its mouth, and when it turned at me to attack me, I will take it by the hair and strike it and kill it. David was telling them that I am a trained warrior. When we have the Spirit of God upon us, the things that scare other people will not scare us. Because you look at this thing and you say, this one too shall pass. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Difficult times will come, but you will look at it and say, this one too will pass, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This one will pass. There are some times that we come at certain points and we see difficult situations and it looks like it is impossible to surpass this situation. Oh, but if you have the Spirit of the Lord upon you, you will look at them and you will close your eyes. You say, this problem doesn't even exist, because I know the God that I serve. He is able to deal with this one. As David, that small and young boy, came and saw Goliath, he did not allow that to touch his heart. He said, my God is able to overcome this one. And so he began to prepare to bring this thing down. What is it that you are faced with, that you are giving up, you are running away from? I am telling you, don't run away from the battle. Come down to the battlefield. Come down to the lines where the lines are drawn, and believe in your God. Take authority in the word of God and stand and fight. Amen. We don't have to run away. We don't have to run away. I am telling you, there is a battle that is going on in many areas, in our lives, in our bedrooms, in our homes, in our countries. We don't need to run away from these battles. We need to stand. We need to stand. And by the Spirit of the living God, we will conquer. We will overcome. And that is what David was doing. And so David came to this battlefield. And the Bible says that when Goliath saw him, this Goliath, if you read the description of him, you see that he is not He is not a human being. In fact, some part of the Bible says that he is a crossbreed between giants and human beings. And you look at the description that is given, the guy is not able to, he doesn't carry his own, he has somebody special who carries his shield. But in normal warfare, you will carry your shield and you will use your right hand to carry your javelin, isn't it? But this guy has a dedicated human being who carries a shield. It tells you that this is an extraordinary dimension. But by the Spirit of the living God, this one too will come down. And so they saw David stand at the battlefield. And then that is where something changed. And we need to take note of this. We need to take note of this. When David saw Goliath, he saw that this battle was not physical, but it was spiritual. Because the guy was defying the armies of the God of Israel. He had taken the battle from the physical to the spiritual. He was talking spiritual things. And so Goliath addressed him. He said, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And David replied him. The reply was fantastic. Fantastic. He said, "You come to me with swords and shields and all sorts of ammunition, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose name you defile." Amen? He changed the battle. He changed the battle. He understood that this thing, if you want to do it physical, that will be the end of us. But the guy is cursing us in spirit, and we want to go there and fight in physical? No. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. There are many things. We are physical, but there are many things that take root in the spiritual realm. And if something is spiritual, you need to deal with it spiritually. You don't need to deal with it physically. And so David understood that thing. So when he stood there, instead of going physical with Goliath, he went spiritual first. He said, "For 40 days and 40 nights, you have been cursing our people and you have been declaring things in the spirit. Now this is your reply. You come against me with swords and shields and all kinds of ammunition, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." So if I come in the name of the God of Israel, I have his authority, I have his anointing, I have his grace, I have everything. The God of Israel is behind me. And that is why I am convinced that you will come down. When he said that, I believe that Goliath knew that the battle has ended in physical. It has transcended into the spiritual. And that made him angry. That made Goliath very, very angry. And so when you read the scripture, he said he started charging. All of a sudden, when David said that, he started charging. And we Christians, we need to understand some things. That we have allowed other religions, we have allowed other spirits, we have allowed other things to take our place. And instead of speaking the word of God to those things, we have kept quiet, and we have allowed the media to speak the evil words, to project evil, to project Boko Haram, to project ISIS, and they are declaring that these guys are unstoppable. But I came to tell somebody they are stoppable. They are stoppable by the Spirit of the living God. Boko Haram is stoppable by the Spirit of the living God. ISIS is stoppable. If we go to them with only ammunition, physical ammunition, we may fail. But I came to tell somebody we need to start preaching the word of God. We need to start declaring that those guys are coming down, because they are not doing those things in physical realms. It is a spiritual thing that they are doing. How can a human being take guns and weapons and just kill a human being for just a mere difference, religious difference? And they are not even just killing Christians, they are killing their fellow Muslims. Can this be a physical thing? It is not. And we Christians, we need to get up and say, this is over. This is over. We need to start declaring that this is over. If David can stand up against Goliath and silence him in one day, I believe that if we begin to pray, these Boko Haram and ISIS and these Islamist evils will begin to succumb to the authority of Jesus. Because we are not speaking the word of God. We are not replying to them in the word of God. They are preaching what they know.
And that is violence. We need to preach what we also know, love. We need to preach what we know, power and authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that's what David did in this situation. And so David went there, and when he changed the battlefield from physical to spiritual, he went on and he slung that stone. And when he struck it, the Bible said it hit Goliath's forehead, and down Goliath went. That difficulty, that challenge that you see today that makes your heart tremble, if you will stand in the power of the Most High God and speak to that thing and take action against that thing, I believe that it's going to come down. But before the battle began, there is something tremendous that happened. I think we need to learn something from that as well. When Saul blessed David, he began to put on him his shield, and he gave him his sword. He gave him his shield, and David tried to move in that thing. And then he said, no, it is too heavy for me. I'm not used to this kind of weapons. I'm not used to fighting with this kind of swords. And so please take them away from me so that I can feel light. I can fight with what I'm used to. For some of us here, you know your weapons. Some of you, your weapons is worship. Some of you, your weapon is prayer. Some of you, your weapon is word of encouragement. Some of you, your weapon is prophecy. Some of you, you see things that people don't see. But you allow other people's imagination to pull you down. David ran the risk of not being able to fight Goliath if he allowed Saul's weapons to weigh him down. He said, no, I'm not used to this kind of thing. So he took the sword and put it down, put the shield, put it down. He said, no, I cannot fight with this. I will fight with what God has given me. I'll fight with my sticks. I'll fight with my stones. And he went out to fight. I need to tell somebody that you need to identify what God has blessed you with. You need to identify your area of gifting, your area of strength. Some of you, if you are sleeping and the enemy strikes, the first thing you will do is to sing. And when you sing that song, the enemy is fleeing. Because that is your weapon. Your weapons, our weapons for the warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. For the pulling down of strongholds. That's what the Bible says. And so each one of us here has a weapon. The Bible says the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit to one is not for the benefit of that one, but it's for the benefit of the whole church. And so for some people, they are gifted as praying. For some people, they are gifted as encouraging people. For some people, they are gifted as singing. And when we all do this together, something happens in the Spirit. Amen? And so sometimes I look at this church and it's like we are struggling with basic things. We are struggling to find people to usher. We are struggling to find people to read. We are struggling to find people to do very, very small things. Why is it like that? Because we haven't identified our areas of gifting. God is calling you to a certain particular area. You can stand there and smile to people and people will feel welcome to this church. You can bless other people with your money or with your words of wisdom, with your words of encouragement. You can stand here and read and preach to other people and they will feel inspired. Bring all those gifts to the house of the Lord. Amen. Don't keep it to yourself, because when you keep it to yourself, it becomes obsolete. It becomes useless. It won't bless anybody anymore. And this youth with a mission, do not see yourselves as too young. God is going to send you to the nations. And when you go in the power of the Lord and say, we have come from Norway. We have come from the United States. We have come from Denmark to proclaim the name of the Lord. Come in authority. Go in peace of the Lord and in the power of the Lord and declare his word. We have been too timid as Christians. We have been too timid and we are allowing other people to run the show for us. In the past, and we need to know this, in the past, the church was a powerful instrument in every nation. It's the church that developed the nations. Look at the history of Norway. The first hospitals, the first schools that were built by the church. Why is it that today the church is not powerful anymore? Why is it that the church is not effective anymore? We are the last to be consulted on any issue. Amen? We need to realize that we are not living the way God wants us to live. I believe that we need to start working in the areas of our giftings where God has called us. Amen. The Bible scripture for us today is that we can do all things. We can do all things. We can do all things. It might look like you are weak, but you can do all things when you allow God to take over. You can do all things when it is like you can't do anything. Everybody has given up on you and you have given up on yourself. The word of God for you tonight is that you can do all things and you need to rise up and begin to act as such. Amen. The battle is not ours. That is what David told Goliath. He said, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. That was his last word before he went out to fight. The battle is not ours. In all these things, we need to realize that we can only do our part. The rest is really left to God. If God says that this giant is going to come down, he is going to come down regardless. It doesn't matter how long he stands there, and doesn't matter how long he chants, and doesn't matter what he says. The word of God is yea and amen. And as long as God says, this giant is going to come down, it's going to come down. Amen. And so I would like to end with Ephesians. 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 We all know how this story ended, right? So I won't go into the details of what David did to Goliath. But I would like to end with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. And I read, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This battle that David went to, in the end, the battle was not only physical. It was a battle of destiny for Israel. If David didn't win that battle, when you read, I think the verse 8 or something like that, it says that Goliath declared, he said, I am here because I want us to draw the battle lines and determine the future. Because whoever wins this battle is going to be the master of the other. So if Israel wins, Philistine is going to be slaves to Israel, and the other way around. So it was a battle of destiny. And that was why it was important that Israel will win this battle. I don't know what battle of destiny we are fighting, or somebody you know is fighting. It might be a battle for their lives, might be a battle for their finances, it might be a battle for their jobs, might be a battle for destiny, the destiny of your children, or whatever it is. But I believe that we serve a God who is able to win the battle for us. I believe that we serve a God who is able to bring that giant down. Is there anything that seems impossible for you, for your mental capacities? Is there anything that feels impossible for your personal aspirations? It's like something you have never even thought of doing. You have never dreamt of being able to do it. I came to tell you that by the Spirit of the living God, you can do it. If Goliath, the giant, the champion, the man described as a champion, came down at the work of this small boy, whom you will not even regard, I can tell you that that problem, that situation will come down. It will bow to the authority of Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you. We want to give you glory and praise for your word. Thank you for your word that has come to us. Your word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This morning we receive strength from you, Lord, to do the unimaginable, to do the things that we have never thought of doing. In this new year, 2015, may we receive extraordinary strength to do extraordinary things, to do the unimaginable, where our strengths are limited. Lord Jesus, we pray that by your grace and by your spirit, we will move and do things that we have never been able to do. Holy Spirit of God, we ask you to empower us. Anoint us as you anointed David. Anoint us for every good work, every challenge, every Goliath, every champion that is in our lives that we are unable to bring down. By virtue of your spirit and by virtue of your anointing, may we be able to bring down that champion in the name of Jesus. Let Israel be free as today we saw that David set Israel free. May we also be free. May our destinies be free. May our families be free. May our children be free. May the things around us be free. We proclaim freedom around us in the name of Jesus. Whatever we couldn't do in the years before, in 2014, Father, we pray that in 2015, by your spirit, we will be able to achieve. We will be able to accomplish. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you. Now, I just want you to spend a few minutes and just, you know, the difficult situations that you face. You know the Goliath in your life. You know the champion in your life. And I just want you to spend the next few minutes surrendering that to God and say, God, give me the grace to overcome this champion, to overcome this Goliath in my life. Just spend a few minutes asking God. Thank you, Jesus.